And welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland sitting in today for Carl Gerke, and joining me is Bernie Hunhoff. He is the
publisher, lawn mowing, garbage, that kind of stuff.
Everything. He's a garbage taker outer of South Dakota Magazine, based in Yankton. Thanks for driving over. And we take time every issue and talk about an article. And this month, we have chosen to talk about the article "Too Good to Be True: Dances 25 Years Later." And so, the 25th anniversary of the movie "Dances with Wolves." I hate to say that I remember it.
that's what everybody says. It seems like it was just a couple of years ago, but
it's been that long.
It's hard to believe. We had just started the magazine a couple of years before that, and we did a piece back then, just as it was being filmed, and I don't think anybody, not even Kevin Costner, on down to the people in South Dakota, nobody had any idea how successful it was going to be or what a lasting impact it would have on. Both on the movie industry and on South Dakota.
Right, both. So, and the entire film was filmed in South Dakota.
Yeah, and that was not the plan. I mean, the plan was to film it, somewhere else. I don't know, down south or in California or around the country. And Kevin Costner came here to look for a buffalo herd. And, of course, Roy Houck outside of Fort Pierre had the great buffalo herd. And when Costner and Jim Wilson, his producer, and others saw South Dakota, saw the Houck Ranch, and then saw the Badlands and the Black Hills, I mean, they just fell in love with the place, and they just started filming. And I think they still maybe intended to sometime move it out of South Dakota, but everything was working so well here. Everybody was so helpful. The Native American community, the Pierre community at first, and then other places in South Dakota. And, I mean, everybody was just so helpful that it was just impossible for them to leave.
Even an early snowstorm, right, when they needed snow.
Yeah, they thought that was the one part, the closing scene in the movie, that the very dramatic scene. They thought they would have to film that outside of South Dakota. And you're right, it's almost too good to be true. The snow fell just when they needed it in Spearfish Canyon.
Just when they needed it most. I like the stories in this article that people didn't know who Kevin Costner was.
Yeah, and that's pretty common around Pierre. But everybody has a story, joking about Kevin Costner. Kay, Roy Houck's daughter, Kay, has the best one. She said that the first time they met, four or five people walked in, and apparently they'd gotten stuck on a dirt road, and they'd been pushing, and they were all kind of dirty and grimy. And she was trying to figure out, she didn't want to ask because he was famous at that time, but she was not a movie watcher. And she was trying to figure out which one he was and choosing, and she said she assumed he was the best looking of the four or five guys.
And she was wrong.
And she said he might have been the last one she'd have picked. So, and others have similar stories. He was so down to earth, and many people didn't know who he was.
Right, and these stories are still fresh in people's memories. That just having regular conversations with him.
Yeah, the making the movie, and it went on for a summer and a fall, for the most part, spring, summer, and fall. And it really did change South Dakota. It had a huge impact on a lot of South Dakotans' lives, and there continue to be all sorts of relationships and benefits that spin out 25 years later, far aside from the monetary aspects. Mm-hmm. It's really had a major impact, probably because it's a movie that's really rooted in the land, in the landscapes. So it's really a South Dakota movie, and so that's helped us a lot. And then the other thing would be that it tried to be so true to the Lakota culture, and we had controversies here in South Dakota in the 70s, especially. It was racially a very difficult time in South Dakota, and then this happened in the late 80s, just a decade later. So we really needed something like that to kind of reawaken everybody's pride, maybe even in the Native American communities, but especially in the white communities. Right. Reawaken the pride in our Dakota culture, and the movie did that, just more than you could ever have planned.
Did it not also reawaken the language?
It really helped the language. The language is still probably a threatened language, but absolutely it did. And Kevin Costner, at some point along the movie making, realized that the language was a beautiful thing and deserved some attention in the movie. So they. It was a movie that in many cases was what do you call taglined, or and the actors actually spoke Lakota, and they spoke it authentically, and two great leaders of the Lakota language, Doris Leaderchurch and Albert Whitehat, both of who have died now, Albert just recently, were very helpful to the movie producers in teaching the actors how to speak the language with the right, you know, accent and dialect. And it was a beautiful thing. I think people both on and off the reservation realized, wow, this is really something we need to preserve.
Right. Well, the landscape, though, hasn't really changed that much since they filmed the movie either, has it?
No, and there's a lot of stories about, you know, the movie producers will still call out to the Pier, Fort Pier Chamber and say, because of Dances with Wolves, they'll say, you know, we'd like to come out and shoot something like that with the wide open landscapes without, roads and power lines and houses. And can you still find a spot like that? And, of course, it hasn't changed at all. There's no problem at all. I was just... For the story, I was just out on the Hauk Buffalo Ranch. I mean, and I assume it must look much like it looked 300 or 400 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now wild horses are running there again, along with the wild buffalo. And they are wild because they run on a huge ranch.
Right.
And there are also wild horses now. They've trimmed down the buffalo herd a little bit and brought in some wild horses through the BLM. So it's a beautiful place and as unspoiled as anywhere probably in America.
Hmm. Do you have any personal memories of the movie yourself? I mean, did you see it?
Oh yeah, I'm, in fact, I saw it. I saw it in Rapid City at a theater early on, shortly after it premiered, and the theater was full of Native Americans. And what I remember about watching it that first time was it was a great movie. I mean, it really showed off the beauty of the land that many of us know, but right. Let's face it, people around the country didn't know. And again, it reawakened your appreciation for the Lakota culture, showing that it's much deeper than it gets credit for. The other thing that was really cool, watching it in Rapid City at a movie theater, was the place was more than half full of Native Americans. And after the credits started rolling, nobody left. Everybody watched till the very end to see if they could find their cousin or their brother in the credits. So there was, just such great pride in the way people participated, both Indian and non-Indian.
Okay. And so would you say it's still having an economic impact on South Dakota?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. It's helped. I mean, it's one of the great all-time Westerns in movie-making history. In fact, I think a Western hadn't won Oscars, hadn't received Best Picture anyway since 1931, I think. It's the biggest selling Western of all time.
See, I never thought of it as a Western. Yeah. Is it a Western?
Well, I mean, it's a...
I guess.
It's a shoot 'em up.
I guess.
Deal. So it's, that's what they would
classify. I thought it was a love story.
Yeah, no, I guess it's a little bit of everything rolled into one. But it's definitely had a lasting impact, both on our tourism industry. There are people from all over the world yet who come looking for sights from the movie, scenes from the movie. And beyond that, I mean, it's... There are so many things that... that it helped to bring attention to that are stronger than ever. Mm-hmm. Spearfish Canyon would be one example. I mean, I think many people now identify Spearfish Canyon with that closing scene. The Buffalo Ranch, the Hauk Ranch, I think it's helped to preserve the buffalo because it brought attention to the whole buffalo culture as well. Mm-hmm. And the Hauk Ranch is doing great. As I said, they've mm-hmm. expanded to wild horses. And then it sparked some things, like the Costners got involved in Deadwood.
Right.
And started the Midnight Star, which is one of the great restaurants in South Dakota. And Kevin obviously isn't there every day, but he's very, very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the 1880 town, which I've always thought was kind of a cool thing, they've preserved all these old buildings from small towns all over West River and brought them to the 1880 town.
Was that used in the movie? Was that
No, but as the 1880 town was just developing then, and some of the guys there heard that there was a fire sale or a rummage sale of memorabilia from the movie in Rapid City. So they went there and bought everything they could and brought it to 1880 town for exhibits. And then that sparked the idea that people realized, oh, the 1880 town wants this stuff. So people would bring memorabilia to the 1880 town. And there's a wonderful exhibit mm-hmm. Of Dances with Wolves there. So that's been a great thing for the 1880 town and for the movie. The Lakota language we talked about, I think right. it's given new appreciation to that. It really did spark a movie industry in South Dakota. I think Californians realize that this is a friendly place and a beautiful place to shoot movies. So we've shot, I think there's been 25 major films and 100 independent projects at least partially shot in South Dakota since then. So we have a small movie industry. There's a Fort Hays Old West town right outside of Rapid City, I think 5 miles south of Rapid City, along Highway 16, that has some of the old buildings and some of the memorabilia. So there are both physical and less physical things, the language. that have really made a lasting impact. I think it's one of the big things that have ever happened in our tourism industry. Saving the buffalo was big, you know.
Right.
Introducing ringneck pheasants, damming the Missouri was right. big for tourism. Crazy Horse, Mount Rushmore, obviously big.
Right.
I think this ranks, you know, just right behind some of those really, really big things.
Right. And they used it in tourism promotions. This is the land where Dances with Wolves was filmed.
Well,
right?
They used it heavily at first, and yeah. And I think they still wrestle with how big they should use it today. But I think a lot of people still use it. It's you know, to a lot of people, especially people who were, you know, watching movies 25 years ago. It's one of the all-time epic movies, and the fact that it was shot here and so closely tied to our land here really makes it a special event for South Dakota.
And big celebrations about it coming up?
Yeah, the Pierre community especially is where this is starting from. There are so many people around the Pierre, Fort Pierre area who are just, you know, some of them worked the whole time with the cast and crew. One is Bill Stevens, a great fellow in Pierre, who was a driver, kind of a chauffeur, a driver for Kevin Costner and others in the crew. And he was kind of an amateur film bug even then, and they allowed him to shoot footage as long as he didn't use it for commercial purposes. He shot many, many hours of footage of the movie, and he's got all this that he can show. There are all sorts of people around there whose lives were changed. One is David Hansen, David Fuddy Hansen. He came there to help out on the Hauk Ranch. They needed to take down some of the fences so they wouldn't show up, and they hired him to take down some of the fences, and he Roy Hauk, the old buffalo rancher, kind of admired the way he handled fences, so they started hiring him to do other things. And you know where David Hansen is today?
He's still at the Hauk Ranch.
You know, so it changed the lives of a lot of people all in positive ways. So the Pierre community, all these folks I'm talking about, are going to do some kind of a celebration or a remembrance July 18th to 20th of this year. And if your listeners are interested, mm-hmm. they might want to keep their eyes and ears open for that.
July 18th and 20th?
July 18th to 20th, coming up
okay.
soon.
Okay. And do you think it's going to then, by maybe reintroducing it, talking about it more, do you think it's going to have a second wave of impact?
Well, I think it's just going to continue to have an impact like great movies do, like Gone with the Wind. And I mean, it's one of the great all-time movies in Hollywood history, any way you look at it, whether by the honors it's received or by the money, which is obviously the big thing, right?
Well, and this one got both, right?
Right, it's got both. It's got both. So, I mean, it's not going away. I mean, it's showing, as we speak, I'm sure it's being watched by somebody somewhere. It's not going away. It's always going to help South Dakota and in many lasting ways.
Okay. And do you think then more movies will...
Yeah, another thing that it's generated in South Dakota is a kind of an appreciation for regional movies, and we didn't have any film festivals before.
Yeah.
Now we have three film festivals, Aberdeen and Sioux Falls and I think Rapid City and Hill City kind of share a project. So we've got three film festivals now that are encouraging movies, and what would really be great is if it would actually spark, you know, more regional independent films written, produced, created, shot right here in South Dakota. And I think it has started to do that already.
Okay. Okay. And any sneak peek for what's coming up in the next magazine that you want to share?
You know, we have a really fun project we're doing. It's probably one of the toughest things we've ever done. It kind of is a 125th anniversary birthday project for South Dakota. We decided to ask every mayor of every town, 311 towns, what's one thing in their town that would kind of surprise or entertain you if you'd stop in.
Oh.
And it's been a challenge because of the mayors, if you ask them what's special about their town, you know, they're the best people in the world.
You don't always get one, do you?
Well, no. The Waldrug mayor, for example, said Waldrug.
Oh,
you know, so,
sure.
I mean, I don't know if that's going to – it'll entertain you, but it may not surprise you, you know. And the Hot Springs mayor said the Hot Springs, and it's kind of going like that. And then many of them have said the curb and gutter is really great, you know. So it's been like pulling teeth, but we're getting it done, and it's going to be a fascinating reading. So it's been a big, big project, and my staff, I'm sure, are wishing we'd never started it, but it's going to be worth it.
It's going to be worth it in the end. Comes out in July.
It'll be in our July-August issue.
July-August mm-hmm. issue. All right. Bernie, thanks for being here
Kara,
today.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it very much. And when we come back, get your lawn and garden questions ready, and we will talk about spring planting coming up next. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.